You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with Ken Gernick, our MLB.com Dodgers reporter. And Ken, we're getting close to the winter meetings coming up next week in Orlando, Florida. During the podcast here, we're going to look back on the Dodgers' 2014 winter meetings. I remember a late night in that one as far as the Dodgers go out on the West Coast. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to touch on the big news going on right now, and that continues to be Giancarlo Stanton and also Shohei Ohtani. Now, Ohtani has limited the list now. It seems like seven teams have kind of made it through the preliminary round, and the Dodgers, obviously, one of them. No surprise there. The West Coast, it seemed like, was something that maybe would be something Ohtani would be interested in. All seven teams actually have their spring training facilities in Arizona, so that also interesting. As you look at it now, have you heard when the Dodgers plan to meet at all with Ohtani?
No, the Dodgers aren't talking about it, and really Ohtani's people aren't talking about it either. Most of this is coming out second and third hand. But it, you know, there is a deadline of the 22nd for him to make a decision. So there won't be a delay in this. They're on a pretty strict timetable. So you know, whether that means it gets done before or after the winter meetings, or even during the winter meetings, but it's all going to be wrapped up in the next couple of weeks. So I would think that these meetings will begin almost immediately, and you know, and he's going to have to make a decision before Christmas.
And he is in, or he was in Los Angeles over the weekend, so you wonder if he starts with the LA teams, as it's been reported that the Angels are also one of the finalists for him. There was a lot of talk before he was actually posted. What exactly would he be looking for? Would the international money matter at all at this point? Of course, none of it being huge sums, but it seems like, you know, with the Yankees already out of the running and teams like that, that really it is coming down to the factor that money isn't that big a deal for Ohtani, and it's going to be other things. And obviously the Dodgers' first sales pitch, which wasn't face-to-face, was a successful one since they're still in the running.
Well, I don't think money was ever an issue, right, or he would have waited 2 years to come over when he would have been a true free agent. So clearly money's not it. Nobody really knows, at least publicly, what his primary goal is beyond being a two-way player. I think that's everybody's in agreement that he wants to pitch and hit. That might even be a higher priority than to win right away. You know, winning right away, there's a, you know, when you have the chance to win, there's also the pressure to win right away. And he's only 23, and he's never played in the major league. So maybe he's looking for a team. You know, several of these teams are second division clubs, you know, losing clubs, teams that seem to be rebuilding, like the Padres and the Mariners, the Giants. So it seems like if you're judging by the cutdown, not only does he want to train in Arizona, but, you know, quite a few of these teams really have a long way to go before they're competitive. So maybe he's looking for a team kind of out of the spotlight, maybe a role out of the spotlight, not to be the guy, the savior, but maybe to have a few years to kind of transition to major league style of play and be able to withstand the demands of being a pitcher and a hitter.
That's a great point, that maybe it takes a little bit of that pressure off. And obviously New York would have been a whole different level of pressure if he had ended up being interested in the New York Yankees, where they're about ready to start winning big time again, and plus the circus that is playing for the New York Yankees. All right, so the other big story, obviously, Giancarlo Stanton, and it sounds like the Marlins have agreed to, I guess, trades in theory with the Cardinals and also the Giants, but Stanton has continued to say that he wants to be on the Dodgers. We continue to not hear anything really from the Dodgers on backing that up. So it seems like we're at the point right now, Ken, where Stanton is going to have to make a decision on whether or not he'll accept the trade to the Cardinals or the Giants, and he may have to make up that decision before he knows for sure if the Dodgers could ever become a suitor. Or do you think that, you know, he's at the point where he's just going to wait out things and hope for the Dodgers?
Well, you know, a lot of people have said that he's got all the leverage. I've never agreed with that. In some ways, he's got very little leverage. He's got to go to a team that the Marlins can trade him to, and he can't determine that. He can say all he wants. He wants to be a Dodger. He probably should have thought of that about that before he signed a 10-year deal. You know, the three-year option, I mean, the opt-out after 3 years, you know, he can revisit that. But right now, he can't determine where he goes, but he can determine where he doesn't go, really. And if all they present him with are two teams that he doesn't want to go to, then he's going to have to stay with the Marlins. The Dodgers, unless they veer off course from what they've been doing, they don't want to pick up roughly $500 million in salary, which is what it would be when you factor in the luxury tax. And that just runs counter to everything they've done. Besides, this isn't a team that needs a guy to put them over the top. They were one win away from winning a World Series. So to commit $500 million when you're one win away from the World Series, you know, it just sort of really doesn't make financial sense, and it isn't the way that they've been running things. So unless he somehow falls in their lap at some discount, which, you know, I guess it would require something really creative, like tearing up his contract or something, you know, beyond anything that's been speculated so far, I just don't see how he becomes a Dodger this winter.
Yeah, agreed on that completely. And I think it's going to be whether or not he can handle to make that decision on whether or not he wants to go ahead and just go somewhere other than Miami or stay and wait. And as you mentioned, he can opt out of that deal. So maybe if he really, really wants to play for the Dodgers that bad, he can wait a couple more years till he can opt out of that contract and try to work something out with them. All right, the winter meeting's a week away. Let's take a look back on one of the craziest winter meetings was 2014, and the Dodgers were a big part of that. Really, it all came together in one night. And I remember, Ken, that was a late night for a lot of people, even on the West Coast, but especially for people who were covering the winter meetings back on the East Coast because they were taking place on the West Coast. But in 2014, a whole bunch of trades. The Dodgers traded for Jimmy Rollins. They send D. Gordon, Dan Herron, Miguel Rojas to the Marlins. They got Andrew Haney, Austin Barnes, Enrique Hernandez, Chris Hatcher back. They flipped Haney for Howie Kendrick. I mean, it was madness for a little bit there. What do you remember most about that slew of moves the Dodgers made really quickly?
Right. You know, I've covered winter meetings where the Dodgers have made maybe one or two trades that might have had a greater impact as far as those individual players go. But for the amount of deals that happened in a short period of time, and the fact that it was Andrew Friedman's first winter meetings in charge of the Dodgers, you know, it really kind of announced that this new front office had taken charge. They sort of took over the meetings, and they showed kind of how bold they would be. And, you know, not every trade worked out great, not every signing. You know, also at that winter meeting, they made some contract agreements with Brandon McCarthy. They set up a deal with Brett Anderson. So it was a winter meetings where, while it didn't really immediately lead to a World Series or anything, it did really tear apart the roster that Friedman had inherited from Ned Colletti, and it kind of allowed him to put his stamp on it and also sort of announce to baseball that that you've got a new guy in charge of this team and he's going to wheel and deal. Not that Colletti didn't make his share of moves. He sure did. But there were so many moves that kind of reshaped this team. You know, Matt Kemp to San Diego. I mean, not every deal was completed during the beginning to end of that winter meetings, but it basically took shape that offseason, that whole roster turned over, and they got Yasmani Grandal. They just made so many deals in so short a time that, you know, it's a winter meetings I'll never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned, you know, Grandal, they got him, and Austin Barnes in that D. Gordon trade is a guy that a reason why you have to wait on these trades to find out how they pan out for teams is this was 2014, and then we saw this year, 2017, suddenly Austin Barnes becoming such a big part of this postseason run. It makes that D. Gordon trade look even better on the Dodgers side of it.
Right, and, you know, Enrique Hernandez, who has been kind of a role player, and he played so well in the league championship series with that three-homer game against the Cubs. So, you know, like I said, not every deal worked out. I mean, they traded Andrew Haney for Howie Kendrick. You know, Kendrick served a purpose. He filled a hole. Haney's, had his injury problems, but, he's still considered a pretty good prospect. You know, they got Jimmy Rollins, but, that didn't work out, although they really only got him to kind of hold a place until Corey Seager was ready, and that kind of accelerated. Seager took his job at the end of that next season. So, there were mixed results. Chris Hatcher was supposed to be the setup guy, and that never really worked out. But Yasmani Grandal has performed, reasonably well, had an all-star year. They were able to unload a lot of the salary in Matt Kemp. So, the results were mixed. Brandon McCarthy has had some good moments, but he's also been hurt. Mixed results as far as the performance, but you sure can't take away from the fact of the boldness, and the vast numbers of players that changed uniforms during that winter meeting.
All right, so looking ahead to the 2017 winter meetings down in Orlando, Florida in a week, obviously the Ohtani situation could bleed over into the winter meetings or even through them possibly. But beyond that, you mentioned the luxury tax and how the Dodgers are trying to come down there eventually and get under that at some point. Do you expect this to be a busy winter meetings or quieter on the Dodgers front?
Well, if you exclude the Ohtani aspect, I think it will be more as far as, on the margins. They really made their big moves last offseason when they brought back Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner and Rich Hill. That was a big outlay of almost $200 million to keep the core of the team together with long-term contracts. So when you consider that, Clayton Kershaw has an opt-out after next year. That's going to be an issue kind of lingering in the background. But, the Dodgers just, as I've mentioned, they were one win away from winning a World Series. This isn't a team that needs to rebuild. They need to bolster the bullpen. If Brandon Morrow leaves, they need a setup guy. If Tony Watson leaves, they probably need another left-handed reliever. But we're talking about kind of complementary pieces. We're not talking about mainstays. They may want to re-sign Yu Darvish if they don't wind up with Ohtani. They may be looking for a number two or three starter. But in general, you're talking about bench. You're talking about role players. And Ohtani has been the focus really since the middle of summer, when Andrew Friedman took Oral Hershiser to Japan to watch Ohtani work out. He's been their focus. He's been their number one priority. And so, everything that they do will pretty much be dictated by what happens with him.
All right, great stuff, Ken. Next time we catch up, it'll be down there in Orlando at the winter meetings. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Dodgers edition. For Ken Gernick, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.